Amen. I've been told not to say nothing silly, so just come up and play more cowbell when that happens. Can you do that, guys? All right. Amen. But let's stand up one more time, and let's pray together right now. Amen. Glory to God. Pray with me. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears, and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me right now, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, speak to us. Minister to us right where we are. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory right now, in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, for just moving through this service today, speaking to us about our relationships, about our marriages, Lord, about even our past, Lord, if we've been divorced, Lord. Let it speak to our hearts today about how we can be even better in all these things in our relationships, especially our relationship with you, Lord. And we just give you praise and we give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see everybody today. Amen. Excited about doing this series. And this afternoon or later tonight, I was going to have a paper to give out, and I'll have it on the table next Sunday. But we're going to do a special Sunday night word of encouragement. So if we don't have your email and you want this, you need to give us your email today so we can send it to you. But we're going to put out a thing about widows and widowers, okay? And just share some things with you that I think is good. How many of you got friends that have lost their husband or lost their wife? Anybody? All right. And you know, there's some important facts that as a believer, I think we should be doing. And I had some things on my heart, but it's long, and I'd rather put it in your hand where you can look at it and read it and instead of preaching on it, because I think it's healthy to go back and review. You know, everybody goes through grief. Everybody say grief. Grief. Amen. I mean, we go through grief when we lose a pet. Amen. We have to put an animal down that's close to our heart. It's tough. Boy, when we had Bazinga and she actually had diabetes. I never knew an animal could get diabetes. But I had to give her shots, and it got to be no fun at all because she didn't like it. And as we were doing all that, I finally decided, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I want her to live her days out and be happy. And she was happy. But it got harder and harder as the days got shorter and shorter. And when we had to put her down, it was the most saddest moment ever. And it hurt. And you know, there's just things you deal with. When I lost my mom all the way back from Knoxville, I cried all the way back to Memphis and preached that Sunday morning. And that was a hard thing. When leaving my dad was a tough thing, knowing that he was going to go home to be with the Lord. But all of us, we deal with that kind of stuff. But we need to be better at being a good friend to those who have lost. Amen. Some of you hearing me, some of you going, I don't know. But you need to. Amen. We need people. And you need people. Amen. Amen. You can't be a shy little goose and go run off. You need people around you. That's your life support system. So I don't like to be around people. Hey, you better grow up because you're going to be around a lot of people in heaven. A lot. A lot. And boy, they're going to be worshiping the Lord and shouting praises to Him. And oh, you're going to be right there in the midst of it. Amen. You need people. God made family. You know, one of the things I want to say this morning, I was kind of at a loss last night. I did not know what direction I really wanted to go until about 6:30 this morning. And but I want to say this. The first institution that God made in the Word of God was the home. The very thing before that was your relationship with Him. Nothing else matters. And I say that gracefully. We put precedence a lot of times on other things and place the cart before the horse. Okay? And we cannot do that in this world that we live in. You need your relationship with God, but you need your relationship with your spouse, with your friends and family. You need that. All those things matter to heaven. You know, when God came back to walk and talk with Adam in the cool of the day after the moment with the tree and eating of the fruit, you know, there was spiritual death that took place. And God called Adam's name over and over, "Adam, where are you?" We need our relationship with God. The first thing you should do is put the Word first in the mornings. Nothing else should come on except the Word. Everything revolves around the Word. Your eternity revolves around the Word. And these messages, you say, "Well, I don't care about this kind of stuff because you know what? I'm not married anymore." Listen, all this stuff's going to be important in the millennium. And I'm telling you, every message you hear is vital to what's next. And I had a strong urge from the Holy Ghost to share these things because you need them. There's things that are going to take place during the millennium you have no idea about. And you need to be prepared and be ready because the greatest days of history are upon us. And our walk and our relationship with the Father is so vital and so important right now. I want to say this too. You know, the last few years, especially this the last 2 years, I think I've grown more in love with my wife than I've ever been before. And it was good when we met. But it's really good now. We do things without thinking for each other. There's certain things that happen in the house that maybe I'm thinking about it, but all of a sudden she acts on it, or vice versa. That comes by spending what together?
Quality time,
lots of time. And you know, those things are important in life. I was joking with Joe this morning. I'm going to preach about 6 reasons why you should divorce. He goes, "Now you tell me." No. No, he's just kidding. But we were laughing about it. I said, "Boy, that would be terrible, wouldn't it, if somebody got up and preached that?" But my point is this. Every relationship in your life is important. Every one of them. Especially your walk with God. And especially your relationship with your spouse. And then down the line, as we shared with you the other Sunday when we first started this. This morning, I wanted to show this one more time, not because I'm going to talk about your cell phone today, but after this finishes, and Eric, you're probably going to need to mute the audio on the commercial here. But let's show this again. You ready, Joe? I want you to see this one more time, and then I want to say something about it.
Are you ready, babe?
Hey, can you drive? I got some work to do.
He's consumed with the world.
This place is sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
She's concerned about
the
kingdom.
Come on, we're here. Dude, look. Check out these crazy rocks.
You know what's crazy? It's like, how come this thing is not connected? Bluetooth not on?
He's still concerned about the world and about what he cares about more.
Well, we're home.
Finally, it gets
and all of a sudden a trumpet sounds.
Yeah!
And she's in heaven. Just making commentary. We have become consumed. We've turned into spiritual worrywarts. We're consumed with everything except what's important. We need to be consumed with what's important. Our relationship with the Master is important. Our relationship with our spouses is important. You know, when that first message I shared with you about our time, you know, all that... Pastor Matthew came over and he was helping us paint our house, and I cleaned up some things in the backyard, and I went and got a dolly because there was these big bags of mulch that I didn't use for 2 years. And underneath the mulch bags were lots of ants. And when I picked them up, I didn't say much to Matthew, but I had ants all over my legs, all over my socks. I had ants in my underwear. That was not fun. And I'm throwing those bags on the dolly because they're heavy. They're all wet and moist. And there was three bags each that I put on the dolly. Or in those heavy-duty contractor garbage bags. And I put them on the dolly and hauled them up to the front, believing God that the trash guys were going to take them off. But they didn't. They didn't pick them up because, I mean, they were heavy like you had a dead body in there or something. They were so heavy. And I'd forgotten how heavy they were. And you put your notes down because I need you in a minute. We were out front, and she came up with me. She goes, "I'll help you. We're going to load them up into the back of the car. We're going to take them up to the school there at West Junior High School, and we're going to dump them in the dumpster." Well, I went up front. I totally forgot I used the dolly to haul those bags up front. But those bags, man, I thought all my insides were going to pour out of me when I picked that bag up. How did I walk? Come on, imitate me. I got to laughing so hard, and she did too. I could not breathe. I was laughing so hard, and it hurt to try to pick them up. And so finally, we got them over to the car after she helped me, but she couldn't pick it up either. So she kind of cut it loose on top of my feet, but I didn't tell you, that hurt. That really hurt. And we finally picked it up and got it in the car. But I had, how many of those, three of them? Two of them, and there was, that was six bags of mulch right there. Six bags going in the back of the car, bags full of ants, glory to God. And we got them all in the dumpster, and a few other things that needed to go. But you know, the one thing about Melissa and I, we have fun together. We laugh a lot. I don't remember what happened the other day, but we got to laughing so hard in the car. You know, you got to have fun together. I heard Jeff Foxworthy say this. You know, Jeff Foxworthy's been touring churches. Did you know that? Him and Get Her Done guy. Not Bill Engle. Larry the Cable Guy, touring churches. Can you believe this? But one of the services I watched online, Jeff Foxworthy made a statement. He said, "Life hurts sometimes, but I think laughter's still the best painkiller." Amen. Amen. Laughter's still the best painkiller. You know, Melissa and I have fun together. We laugh about things that are silly. She just never noticed me when I would put sugar in my unsweet tea. I would put sweet and low in there. And she wasn't paying attention, and I put my mouth on the straw, and I started blowing in my cup, and she's starting to laugh again. And we laughed so hard at Gus's fried chicken. I mean, I couldn't breathe. And I get like that. I get where we laugh together, and I shake all over because I can't breathe. I'm laughing so hard. And I'm telling on me because, you know, life's supposed to be fun, not filled with fear and angst. Amen. You know, there's things about being together that's important. You know, don't stress each other out. Have boundaries between you and everybody else, including your kids, because the two of you together are one. And you gotta be that way. Otherwise, the cares of this world and the cares of this life creep into your home and take over. That's why I don't have the news on anymore in the house. I don't want the cares of this life to control my mouth or to control my heart or to control my thinking. Do I know what's going on? Yes, I do read, but I don't watch. Because it's the same story every 20 minutes. Somebody shout amen, because that's the truth. Even the news media will tell you that. They recycle every 20 minutes, and they keep adding on and adding on. They want to control your thinking. I don't know about you, but I got the thinking that should be controlling my life right here. It tells me how to walk free, how to be happy, how to laugh, how to have a good time. And that's important. Amen. But you got to enjoy each other. You got to work things out together. Amen. Even lifting up heavy bags and pulling them in the back of the car. And last night we went to Wesley and Andrew. We all went to a show together that I'd bought tickets for. I wish we all could have went. But coming out of the Orpheum, I slipped in the rain. And we're just walking normal, you know, like this. I slipped in the rain, and one foot went that way, and the other foot went behind my back. And, you know, it was nice, really nice just for a moment there. It hurt. And it's a little blue over here right now. But thank God that Wesley was right there and Andrew was right there. They picked Dad up like he was a sack of bricks. And then we get over to MLGW Garage, and we can't go up in the elevator because the elevator's out of order. And I got to climb three flights of stairs. So it's been a fun night. That's why I didn't know what I was going to do today. But you know, you got to have fun. You got to enjoy life no matter what age you're at. You laugh, you crack jokes, you're silly together. I want you to know something. Your life is not a prison. That's worth writing down. Your life is not a prison. You got to find things that you can do together. Find things that you can do to bless lives as a team. I think my wife and I make a pretty good team. We've been doing ministry since we first met. She started coming to the church and helping out with the youth, because that's what I did. And this is the girl that vowed she'd never marry a pastor. She told all of her friends that. Looky here. But we have fun together. I remember when I went to my high school reunion, 40-year reunion, when was that, 2 years ago now? And John Williams met me when I walked in, and I told him I'd come help them set up. There was only like five, six of us there. And these are people I had classes with and stuff. We had a good time laughing and cutting up. But John took me aside, and he hugged me real tight. He said, "Man, you're the real success story. Most of us never left this town. But you left this town and you did something. And it means something to me." Now, he moved to Texas and to Florida. He has a ranch and doing really well. But he looked at me, because we had a huge revival at our high school at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he kept going on about how many lives you've touched. "I saw you on TV. I saw you doing this." He goes, "That's inspirational." Your life ought to be an inspiration and not a reason to take Maalox. Amen. Amen or oh me. Your life ought to be something that makes people go, "Wow, I want to be like that." Isn't that what Paul said? "Follow me as I follow Christ." God wants you to be that way in your home, with your spouse, with your grandkids, with your kids. Life is not a prison. Find things you can do together. Be a blessing. Love's built on activity, not silence. You got to keep upgrading your wardrobe too together. You wear clothes that make you feel alive. Don't age yourself through fashion. Just giving you some pointers this morning. Play games together. Play cards. Do board games. I don't like games all that much, but my wife loves them. When all of our family comes together, what do they like to do? They all sit around and play games. We have fun together. Love to play trains. Amen. Not electric. I like electric chains, but there's a game called trains.
Well, ticket to ride.
Ticket to ride. I call it trains. That's what we all call it, right, Andrew? We love to play trains. Amen. Choo, 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 choo. Amen. But you know, you do things together. You treat your body right. You massage each other as husband and wife. You're a blessing to one another. You enjoy the sense of touch. Just throwing some things out. You let sleep be sacred. You go to bed on time. You have pillow talk. You close each night well, with a hug, with a kiss. You worship together as a couple. among your family and church. Why? Because it rejuvenates your spirit. Church is your life support system. It's your life support system individually, but it's your life support system as a husband and wife too, as a grandparent. Amen. And you ought to throw this out. You ought to avoid people or individuals that have a toxic spirit that pull you down. Another one to think about is you ought to eat right. You ought to invest in good food. You ought to share meals together. It's amazing how many people eat out these days but don't sit down at the table and pray together and eat a meal together. We like to eat a meal together. We do that quite often with our family. Chase got to be a part of that Sunday. We had folks over, we cut steak, and we had a good time. But you got to do those things together if you're going to stay strong and stay together. Everybody say together. Together. You got to stay young mentally. You do activities together. You keep learning. You learn to bond with each other. You learn to bond with your kids. You learn to bond with your grandchildren. You learn a thing or two together when you do that. Amen. Fun activities. We like to travel. We like to go places. We like to do things. And I'm going to share something about that in a moment. But you know what? Just having fun. Amen. Just a good time together. But folks, you know, we don't want to be like that girl. If that girl in that video could be Jesus, are you ignoring him all the time because you're so consumed with everything else that you're not spending time with the Master? Because he's the one who put his love in your hearts. It's been shed abroad in your heart so that your home can be strong, so that your marriage can be strong, so that your relationship with your friends can be strong. And even if one spouse or the other goes home early to be with the Lord or before you, you can still stand strong because what you got in you is greater than anything that can come against you. Amen? Amen. Come on, that's good. See, the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and these really are our theme scriptures, but it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And we told you the word cleave means to stick to like glue, forever chase after. Amen. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together. Everybody say, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. Amen. I'm an heir together with my wife, with my husband. I'm an heir together of the grace of life. Why? I do all these things so my prayers are right on the mark. So I'm living large, walking strong. Because, boy, the one that matters the most keeps me stable. Jesus. Amen. Love works. Always works. But it works even more when it's focused on the Lord and you focus on the one that you're spending the rest of your life with. Can you say amen? Yes. Amen. Well, today I just want to run some things to you about the time that you have. I was with a pastor and his wife. They're both pastors. And they came in for marriage counseling. And 95% of the marriage counseling I do has been with pastors. And I find that, at times, I find it depressing for me. I go home, and Melissa will tell you, I just want you to know how much I love you. You're so amazing. You're so awesome. Because I hear all sorts of things. Some things that curl the hair on the back of your neck. Because they struggle and they deal with things. We all do. How many of you know we all deal with things, right? And just for what it's worth, this is probably one of the greatest, most practical books on marriage I've ever read. This is a revised edition of Jimmy Evans' book, Marriage on the Rock. It's been out for 25 years plus, and it's a great book. It's practical and down to earth about things people deal with. And I gave them a copy. I also gave them a copy of Bob Yandian's book, One Flesh. This book deals with practical things in this life, in the flesh. Bob's book deals with marriage everything you'd ever wanted to know from the Word of God. When One Flesh came out, it was the most popular series in the country and around the world back during the 80s. And it's just powerful. Still to this day, it's powerful. There's things in there about the Word and marriage that's just unbelievable, and things that it shares. But I throw that out to you in case you want to read something good. This is a great book to get. You can order it on Amazon. It'll be there tomorrow. It's just a great book. Amen. We try to have them in the bookstore, but we've been out of them, and I had a hard time getting them until recently. But today, I just want to take a few moments and build off the direction that the Holy Ghost has led us in this series. And that's just talking about our communication, what's important. But today, you know, I want to take some time and just share with you some thoughts that I had. There's no single average of how much quality time we should be spending together as couples. I don't think you can put a time frame on how much time you spend with the Lord, can you? I mean, you need to spend time with the Lord all the time. But there's really no single average, if you would, for how much quality time we spend together as a couple. If you're at my house, Melissa and I spend a lot of time together. There's a source that I read recently in an article said that couples generally spend about 2 to 2.5 hours per day together. Although that kind of togetherness revolves around watching television, doing chores, not necessarily in deep, meaningful interaction. One of the things that I read that the average couple only spends 4 minutes face-to-face time talking. 4 minutes. And I wonder sometimes, how much time do you spend, if you would, spiritually face-to-face with the Master? I hope it's longer than 4 minutes. There's no single average, folks, but there should be more time devoted to spending time with the Lord, with the one that we love. You know, some sources in a statistic gave this information that suggests only a bare minimum of 15 to 30 minutes of focused one-on-one conversation daily is ideal for connection. In other words, there's no deep, intimate connection if we're not spending at least, at the bare minimum, 15 to 30 minutes. That's why I did that message about, is your phone more important than your spouse? Some things become an idol. We might as well paint it gold and put it up on the mantle and bow down before it. Well, it got quiet. Communication with the one that you love should be paramount. Everybody say paramount. Not talking about a network. Talking about somebody being numero uno in your life. Jesus needs to be number one. Your spouse should be second on that list. Amen. Then your kids, grandkids. You know, it's amazing to me how people disconnect from reality and put all their eggs in baskets that Jesus is not involved in. One popular social media trend suggests the 777 rule for date nights and holidays. And I want to share about that today too. But let's understand this data that I'm talking about, all right? We're talking about time. We're talking about having a healthy relationship. Any of this can apply to your friends. Any of this can apply to people you pray with. I love our prayer team. When I get to come up here, oh man, it just changes me on the inside. I love spending time in prayer because that's a big part of my relationship with God the Father. Amen. But spending time one-on-one with people is important. So I don't care if you're married or if you're single or if you're by yourself. What I'm going to share with you today is important. It has value, and it's going to be valuable for the rest of eternity. But time together and quality time together are two different things. Studies often measure time spent as being time spent in the same room. And that's not always quality time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I remember when we went to the Louvre there in Paris, and we didn't have a lot of time. I love art. I love music. And I love to just go through, and I'm that kind of guy. I will sit down in a chair and will look at a painting and study the strokes, the brush strokes, study all the different things about a painting. Because there's feeling in that. There's something in the image that's powerful. And there's other people, they won't see that as important at all. But there's something about spending quality time listening to things, hearing song structures, hearing how people actually play together, their instruments, how they flow with one another. I'll never forget being in a recording studio and Brother Jim Wideman came in. He was Lefty Wright on the Gospel Bill show. And Brother Jim talked about how, man, you need to put triplets on that. And I heard of triplets, but I'd never heard triplets in a studio. And boy, we started doing triplets on a lot of songs. And that sounded really neat. Let's layer in guitars and, I guess no other way to say it, in different tones, different notes. And it was powerful. It brought everything alive. But there's a difference between spending time together and spending quality time together. Being in the same room is not the same as spending quality time. Quality time implies that there is a focused, intentional interaction with your partner, with your husband, with your wife, with your Father in heaven. A focused, intentional interaction. Write it down. Focused, intentional interaction. You need that in your life spiritually. You need that in your life in natural things. You need a focused, intentional interaction. Amen. You know, my wife is my best friend. She knows me better than I know myself. She knows when I'm hurting. You know, like this morning I was kind of whistling and kind of humming songs because I was trying to take the focus off what my knee feels like right now. I do that. I'll focus, I'll hum, I whistle. But you know, she knows that. Now, you know that. But, you know, there's certain things that you do. And I do things to focus my thoughts and focus my attention. Sometimes in the middle of the night, if I'm up reading, I'll have a song in my head. And I'm focusing. The words of that song mean a lot. That last song this morning, wow, what a powerful statement that song is. Amen. But see, that's a focused, intentional interaction. You need that in life. You need that with your friends, the people you fellowship with. You need a focused, intentional interaction. Amen. Y'all remember my friend Philip Trent? And when we get on the phone, we can talk for hours. We're just that way. We talk about everything. He's the only guy I know that can add and subtract and divide, multiply, do algebra and geometry, forwards, backwards, sideways, and back. He can do that. That's the kind of guy he is. He knows how to run numbers and knows how to do things. He's serving now as the associate pastor of Faith is the Victory. Not just the youth minister anymore, he's the associate. Pastor Cowan stepped back. His son Jason is now the senior pastor. And Jason said, I want you by my side. And Philip's been waiting for that for years. And I'm excited for him. And it's just a good thing. But him and Jason have focused, intentional interaction. Pastor Matthew and I, when we sit down and we talk about stuff, we have focused, intentional interaction. About things that are coming up, things that we need to do. About things, what do you want to do about this? Well, I would like for it to be like this. And boy, he runs with that. You know, but you're in your relationships, you need that focused, intentional interaction. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, what about that? Well, that's what makes your relationships healthy. Amen. You don't have a yo-yo relationship with people, up and down. But what about the different definitions? Well, write it down here. Quality time is subjective. Quality time with someone is subjective. Remember, we're going to leave and we're going to cleave. Cleave means to forever chase after, to stick to like glue. If I don't have a spouse, I'm going to forever chase after Jesus or stick to Him just like glue, because He's important. Amen. I don't want to be that guy in the car and Jesus has got the wheel and I ain't paying attention. I want to know His heartbeat. For my wife, I want to know her heartbeat. I want to know what she values. She's that way about me. I knew there was something she wanted the other day. She wasn't going to say it. But she closed the catalog and threw it away. But 2-3 days later, what she wanted showed up. I've never seen her so giddy. She was excited about that. She was very proud of it. You know, God looks at you that way too. He knows your heart. He knows what you want. But do you know the heartbeat of Jesus? Do you know the heartbeat of God? See, that comes by focused, intentional interaction, because He's your life partner. Amen. But see, quality time is subjective. It depends on individuals and what they define as an ideal relationship. If you're looking to get married sometime, whether it's the first time or again, your relationships need to have intentional purpose. Amen. You need to have quality definitions of God's idea about relationships and not yours. Amen. Your insecurities need to be checked at the door and let Jesus be Lord of all of your emotions, all of the things that are going on in you. He needs to be Lord. Amen. So make sure your definition of what time is, that it is quality and it's subjective to the Word. I always go back, you know, the Bible's filled with relationships. There's lots of powerful miracles, but if you go from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you see relationships more than anything. It's there. Why? Because God values relationships. You're going to spend eternity with everybody you lead to Jesus. Everybody you come in contact with. There's an opportunity there to tell them about the One who changed your destiny. And that's all you get to take to heaven. Family, friends, people that matter. See, this is why relationships are important. This is why your quality time is important. What about some good examples, Pastor, of quality time? And I went backwards. There we go. What's some good examples? Well, quality time can include activities, and this is going to sound so basic to all of us, but it's something we don't do anymore. We allow the news or the television or our phones or social media to do all of this. Quality time includes activities like talking. Look at your neighbor and say, talking. Oh, that's some of you. Say it real loud with me. Talking. One more time. People don't do that anymore. We spend all of our times, Andrew's got my phone, but we spend all of our times just shooting text to one another. How many of you know you can't even judge what somebody actually said in a text? You can misinterpret a text and think they're hurting you, but they're just telling you a simple fact. You can misinterpret something. But there's something about it when you sit down and you hear the voice inflections. Even on the phone, you don't understand the emotion behind it unless you see somebody face to face. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He spent time with him. See, quality time, folks. Quality time includes things like talking, taking a walk together, going on a date. Everybody say a date. Amen. If you're married, hear this one out. And you know, girls, guys, you know, if you're not married, you know, you need friends to hang out with. Yes? You need to spend time with other people. That's important. But if you're married, listen to me. If you're dating or going to date somebody that you're considering as a candidate for marriage, talking, walking together, going on a date, visiting someplace, going to a museum. Amen. All those things are important. When we went on that trip to South Dakota, you know, we didn't think we'd have time, but I wanted to go see the Devil's Tower. And it's a rock formation. There's nothing evil about it. The Indians named it that. And there's a lot of history behind it. And while we were walking around that big old monstrosity, that was something to see. And it's huge, huge. The closer you get to it, the bigger it is. But we did that together. We had fun. And we went and saw that. We went to different restaurants and ate. We met people. We had fun with servers. We went to a breakfast place in South Dakota that was not Cracker Barrel. And they did not know how to make gravy, let me tell you. But we had fun. Everybody was nice and sweet. We went into a couple of Indian stores where they have Indian art, Indian gifts. And that's fun. I love Southwestern stuff. Love it a lot. But we enjoyed all that. To us, it was having fun together. It's walking together. Going to the beach, you know, Melissa wanted to walk up and down the beach. And I did that a little bit. I enjoy just sitting at the beach and being under the sun. And that's a happy place for me. Hearing the water, I don't know about you, but hearing the water go back and forth, boy, that just brings peace right in. Oh, my goodness. Hearing the rain, you know. Just read quiet for a minute. It's peaceful. Doing things together like that are important. Doing things like that together with Jesus is important. Doing things together like that with friends, that's important. Again, the Bible's filled with relationships. And you, as a married couple, are supposed to be an example of Christ in the church. We are to live that example. We are to be a testimony to people who come into our homes, who break bread with us, who see us having fun together, see us cutting up, seeing us laugh, lifting up heavy bags. I don't know if the neighbors saw all that, but I was doing all I could to not laugh out loud too hard. Gosh, we were at the restaurant. I noticed that waitress. We have the thank you kind of waitress, you know, that comes up and asks you all the time, talks to you. You know what I'm talking about? We have one of those at Cracker Barrel. Sandra, remember her. She comes up, she says thank you after every statement she says. And she wound up working over at another restaurant at the Old Fort there in Cleveland. Thank you after every sentence. Thank you. Thank you. Can I get you a glass of tea? Thank you. And all that. And you know, it's fun. But when we were laughing about blowing bubbles into the cup, Melissa said it reminded her of me doing other silly things. She's laughing already. But when I did that, you know, I noticed the server saw all that. And she kept coming back to us. Why? Because love is contagious. Love is contagious. And you have to be very careful in your life that you don't draw grudges, that you don't draw offenses, that you don't draw lines in the sand because you don't like something. Love is supposed to be contagious. Read John 17 when Jesus prayed. Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I have revealed you to them so that they can reveal you to the world. Love is supposed to be contagious. Amen. Amen. Quality time together builds love and builds affections. Amen. So, what's Pastor's recommendations for you today? Well, you ought to have some daily goals in your life about your relationship with Jesus, daily goals about your relationship with your spouse or your friends or family, so to speak. Relationship experts say that you ought to have at least a 15 to 30 minute goal of focused one-on-one communication. Amen. I'm sorry, you can't build a relationship with the TV. The Babylon box is not going to save you. That's what we called it in Bible college. I'm spending my time fellowshipping with the Babylon box. Clickety, clickety, click. You want a relationship with the Most High? you better spend time with the Most High. Moses spent so much time with the Most High, he came back glowing like a light bulb. He was so bright, they had to put a cloth over his face. Have you been spending that kind of time with the Master? See, that's the kind of time, too, you need to be spending also with the one you love. Because the two become what? She thinks like me. She knows what I'm thinking before I speak. I know her likes and dislikes most of the time. She knows mine most of the time. You have to learn to magnify those things that are good. Why? Love is contagious, but secondly, love sets an example. Love is contagious, but love always sets an example. I know last night I leaned over. I said, I feel like I'm on an airplane flight and the Chinese guy's next to me again, sleeping on my shoulder, drooling on me. That's what happened on one flight coming back. I let Melissa have the window, but we could only get a window and an aisle seat or a center seat. This gentleman had the aisle seat. He was a nice enough fella, but as soon as he hit the seat, he laid back, put his chair back, and all of a sudden, within moments, I had his head on my shoulder, and he's drooling on my shirt. I was not shouting happy. If I could open the emergency door at that moment. I had that feeling last night. And it was okay, but I felt like I was back there again. But you know what? Towards the end, you know, there was a little camaraderie there because we both liked something that was going on. And we both stood up at the same time. We both were going, yeah, clapping our hands, having a good time with it. Listen, your love is an example. It should be contagious. Huh. It's all important, folks. All important. Amen. It should be focused. It should be contagious. It should be something that really speaks. But your minimum goal ought to be 15, 30 minutes of focused one-on-one time. And I told you when we started this morning, the 7-7-7 rule. I read this several weeks ago, and I want to read this to you this morning. And I want to kind of close with this and one more point, but the 7-7-7 rule. A big concept in Christian therapists talk about a lot in Christian counseling. They talk about this 7-7-7 rule. And it's a concept that suggests that setting aside time for dates every 7 days, setting aside time a night away every 7 weeks, setting time aside for a romantic holiday every 7 months. Can I say that again? You ought to write it down. This is good preaching. This is marriage counseling 101. It'll help you not being in my office. Write it down. Concept suggests spending time for dates every 7 days. Having a date night. Another 7 is a night away every 7 weeks. Another 7 is a romantic holiday every 7 months. We try to do this. We try to go out once a week. We try to do that together. If it's just lunch or if it's going to a restaurant somewhere nice, we do that. For our anniversary, and some of you know this, I don't know if I've said it from the pulpit, but I know Melissa loves plays and musicals. Thomas does. Andrew does too, and Gabrielle and Wesley and Maria enjoy this, but I wanted to do something nice for Melissa for her anniversary. So I got online, and when it was time to book season tickets to the Orpheum and pick our seats out for the Broadway series, I booked it. And the second year, I upgraded our seats, and I think it's our third season. And it is the most fun. I mean, the most fun. Having a good time. How many of you saw the movie, The Notebook? Yeah, I know. Eric cried like a baby, right? I only say that because he told me. No. I mean, he says, you're going to cry. But, you know, we're going Tuesday night. But I know that's important to her. And that's a date night. Comes every 2 weeks during the season or something like that, every month. And we have a good time with that. And don't get offended at that about us. I mean, we do that. We want to spend time together. I don't know about you, but I'm happy. Huh? What you smoking? I'm happy. Amen. Amen. Quit eating cardboard. Be happy. Amen. Amen. Do something together. Have some fun. Ron and Renee, they're up there at the Ark. I think that's where they're at. Is that where they're at? Yeah. They're having a good time. They do that a lot. That's why they're not here sometimes. They go a couple months ago, they went and saw Big Sur and went to the Redwoods. And he was up here last Sunday telling me all about the Redwoods. Because I want to do that. I want to do that. You need to spend time. You know, every 7 days there ought to be a time set aside for you have a date night. If you're single, there ought to be a time set aside every 7 days where you go hang out with friends. We had a lady who we have met through Jane Parati, who has now become a very close friend. She is our retirement consultant, and she takes care of things for us. But Sarah called out of the blue and wanted Melissa to go out on a date night with her and all her girlfriends. And they had a big time. They went to Napa Cafe and just had a night. 12 women sitting at a table. I mean, it was loud. And they had a good time. Was it loud? I know it was loud, right? And then Sarah knows the owner of the Napa Cafe. And she came out and talked to them all. It's just nice fun to have with other people. You need that in life. When you get to heaven, you're going to be doing it all the time. Every 7 days. Every 7 weeks, spend some time away. We got an event we're going to go to in Nashville. I booked a hotel room downtown. We're going to have a good time. Go get away. If it's just for one night, it's going to be all right. That's why we went to the beach for 2 weeks. We want to spend some time together. Andrew and Gabrielle came for part of it, but we spent the rest of the time together. Walked all over Disney World. Walked all over Universal. I didn't go to Universal, but one time I couldn't walk anymore. But we had a good time. I wanted to go to the Epcot and just walk around and eat. Amen. If you understand that, all the world showcase around Epcot, there's restaurants and food at every place. One of the things we went to, I'm going to throw this at you and I'll close with the last point and we'll pray. But we went to the, Norway area? Is that what it is, Matthew? And we walked in and we're going to get something, we could smell cinnamon, but when we walked in, it's like, whoa. And I didn't see it. There's cinnamon rolls in here. Yeah. Oh, we walked in there. I said, there's cinnamon rolls in here. Get in line. Get in line. You can't have cinnamon rolls. I don't care. I want a cinnamon roll. So this pretty young lady came up, blonde, looked like she was from Norway. She came up. She says, what'd you like? And I said, I want a cinnamon roll. She goes, do you want your frosting on it? I said, I want it all over it. All over it. What did she say exactly? I'm trying to. You went on top or on the side. And I said, I went all over it. So she smiled and she winked. She walked back and I thought, okay. So she comes back and there was frosting on top. There was frosting all over the side of the plate. My Lord Jesus came back. Jeez. We sat down and ate that. And it was the kind of frosting that had a little taste of orange in it. Oh, it was so good. Larnell and Sandy Patty were singing, I've Just Seen Jesus. It was so good. But we sat and ate that. Couldn't finish all the icing because there was so much. But boy, was it good. We even talked about going back and getting another one. But we didn't do that, did we? It rained. That's right. We didn't go because it rained. But listen, you got to get away every once in a while. Every 7 months, you need to have a romantic holiday. Get away. There should always be quality time with the Lord. all the time. Quality time with your spouse, all the time. Which brings me to the last point, the most important of all. Connections should be focused. Connections should be focused. I think one of the most crucial aspects in all of my marriage counseling that I have learned, especially with ministry people, it's amazing how they let the cares of a church, the cares of the congregation, overwhelm them to such a degree that they don't have a focused connection. They're so busy about doing and serving and doing and fixing and serving and that they don't spend time doing, serving one another, each other. See, the most crucial aspect in any relationship is that time that's spent together. That involves what we've been talking about. Actually talking, actually connecting, and not just being in the same room. Remember the old saying, we're like two ships passing in the night. Say that with me. Two ships passing in the night. It is sad, is a sad testimony, but a lot of marriages in the body of Christ and a lot of individuals, because of social media and because of television, are nothing but two ships passing in the night with no depth and spirituality. You need that in your life. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You need that. It is the most crucial aspect of all the things I hear about. And the three reasons people get divorced is because of sex, the lack thereof, or whatever, money, the pressure of finances, and children. Those are the three big reasons. But number four down the list there is a lack of communication. Children being the pressure of children, having to take care of them, raise them, the money that's involved in that, creates pressures. And I think we can all agree with that. But one thing I've learned in all the years of counseling is that people don't spend the time together that they need to. You need to connect, not just be in the same room. Can you say amen? So I want you to read this verse with me here. This is from the Message translation. And Song of Solomon chapter 2 verses 3 through 6. And this is where the charismatic song that we used to sing all the time is Banner Over Me Is Love. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Am I saying that right? And his banner over me is love. This is where that song comes from. But this is from the Message. And I want you to look at this not only in your marriage relationship, but also in your relationship with the Lord. As an apricot tree stands out in the forest, my lover stands above the young men in town. All I want is to sit at his table to taste and savor his delicious love. He took me home with him for a festive meal, but his eyes feasted on me. Oh, give me something refreshing to eat, and quickly. Apricots, raisins, anything. I'm about to faint with love. His left hand cradles my head, and his right arm encircles my waist. Two thoughts here, and I don't have time to spend on the first one, but the Lord looks at you that way. His arms are around you. He loves you. He's given everything for you. That's why we honor him. But not just honor him. We have intimate fellowship with him. But in our marriages, this kind of love, that kind of covering, only comes when there is quality, focused time. What did we say earlier? Focused, intentional interaction. That's where this comes from. It comes from what we read here. Your arms encircle each other. You're refreshed. You can't help but look in their eyes and be excited. You can't help but hold their hands, and there's just something about it. When the perfect song is there, you reach over and you hug them. and you pull them tight because they matter. Amen. Anybody remember your favorite song when you were dating? One of mine played last night. And without hesitation, Melissa reached over and grabbed me real tight and pulled me close. Jesus wants to do that with you every day morning, all day long. But you need to do that with the one you love too. Do that, you know, not the intimate side with your friends, but you spend quality time with your friends to encourage you, to lift you up. Connect with one another. Don't just be in the same room. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, let our communication be good, be right, be focused. This morning, Lord, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you know, if you're dealing with a relationship, dealing with things in your marriage, dealing with something in family, you know what? You need to cast all that over on the Lord. Focus on what's good, what's right. Let your angers and your frustrations be placed on the shelf. Focus on what love would do. Pray. Seek the face of God over these things. Don't let these things become a mountain in your life. Let love prevail. No matter how much heartache you've been through, no matter how much brokenness you've had to endure, Jesus' arms are right around you. He loves you. Take all those weights and lay them at His feet. And let His love surround you. He's got a table filled with the sweetest of fruits, with the sweetest of drink and cake and all sorts of things that just mean so much. And I'm talking on a spiritual level here, but focus your attention, not your hurts, on the Lord. Focus your attention on Him. Let it be focused. Let it be intentional. Let it be quality. Amen. Let the interaction be sweet. If you're in here and your marriage has been kind of topsy-turvy, it's been like a yo-yo, listen to what I've said today. Go back and hear it again. And make some decisions to work on being a focused, intentional interaction. Even if they don't respond at first, be that lover that was sent by the Lord. That blessing. It can change everything if you'll just act on His love. Because you reap what you sow. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today, if you're watching online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is it, man. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. If you're not living for Him like you should, maybe you asked Him into your heart a while back. Oh, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Come back in again and make it all fresh and new. And if that's you, we're all going to pray together. If you're watching online, pray with us. Amen. Let's all pray, church. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for me and to be raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for You. And I look forward to seeing You again. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen.